All right, welcome back, Warriors HQ. Dieter Kurtenbach, Wes Goldberg, separate sides of, well, the Bay, but soon separate sides of the Bay because no one's going anywhere for quite a while here in California. And basketball season starting, which is fun. It's fun. It's unquestionably fun. Also a little scary because we all remember how the Warriors season in 2019-2020 ended and feels ominous, but nevertheless, Warriors are in training camp right now, or they're about to officially start training camp on Monday. Preseason's getting started, and then the NBA season starts on December 22nd with a game in Brooklyn against the Nets. NBA not messing around when it comes to the marquee matchups early. I wanted to get Wes on today and just kind of go through some of the big questions that we have, and maybe even just the biggest question that we each have regarding the Warriors 2021 season. I'm not even acknowledging the 2020 part of it. It's just the 2021 season, and kind of what we're concerned about, what we're interested in finding out, and ultimately what will maybe define this entire campaign. All that a long way to say, Wes, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm finally ramping up into this, into a basketball game schedule. Who knew that we'd eventually be playing basketball? But it's been 9 really, really long months. And I am so glad. I think the last time we talked was either right before or right after the draft. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about the draft for at least a few more months. We know which is the Wes, team is.
It might be a couple of weeks, buddy.
The NBA really did not give the Warriors a break coming into the season. A road game against Brooklyn, who you could argue might be the favorite in the Eastern Conference, depending on what Kevin Durant looks like. Right. I think that's a fair argument. So you go. And then if they're not the favorite, then I would assume Milwaukee would be. And they play them on Christmas, again, on the road. The Warriors coming off of a 15-50 season without Klay Thompson the second straight year. And the NBA is like, we don't care. People want to watch Steph Curry. Well, and they are opening up the season. Steph versus Steph and Draymond versus Kevin Durant. Right. And it could be I hesitate to say it's going to be ugly early. But the Warriors are going to have their work cut out for them relatively soon. Mm-hmm. And it's a new look roster. This training camp is going to be so important for them. These three preseason games are going to be so important for them because in a 72 game, a condensed schedule, every game matters that much more, you know? And it's tough to drop two games early against title contenders. Like Steph said in his media day interview, you know, they're going to kind of know what they are pretty early on, I think, just based on the bars that they're going to have to set in these first two games.
It's kind of wild, too, because talking to Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and just kind of getting a lay of the land well before these media days began, it seemed to me reading between the lines that they were of the mindset that they're going to have to kind of wing it a little bit, that it's going to take a while for this team to figure itself out. And while two games amid 72, hopefully 72, is arguably inconsequential, though unquestionably more consequential than in prior iterations of NBA seasons, it's just going to loom large amid the narrative, right? Like this is going to set a tone that the Warriors are going to have to fight really hard to either change or maintain. That's kind of where I want to get off on this first question. What is Draymond going to look like? You led me into it perfectly. We all have questions about Steph Curry, and I'm happy to talk about him here. We all have questions about the health. Two players or two people, we don't know if they were players or not, testing positive for coronavirus, but not in a problematic way, I suppose, to the sense that they only had to push training camp by a day, so really doesn't change much at all. You know, Steve Kerr talked about, you know, establishing defense early and trying to make that the backbone of this team. We'll see if that's possible. But all of those things sort of revolve around Draymond. If Draymond is the number two on this team, what kind of Draymond are you getting? Certainly, he's going to be a defensive mastermind. Physically, is he capable of playing at the highest level on the defensive end anymore? Has all this time off helped him recuperate? Or he looks like he's in great shape, but you just don't know. And then ultimately, what kind of offensive game is he going to have? There's no question that he's going to be bringing the ball up the court, that he's still going to be sort of the de facto point guard of this team, that he's going to set the pace of the game as he always does. But if he can knock down threes at a 30% clip, that's all I'm asking, 30%, not even a third of the time. That changes the paradigm for the Warriors dramatically. That allows them to play James Wiseman and Marquese Chris more minutes, that they don't have to go to Draymond at the five. Like, there are so many things that really hinge on Draymond because Klay Thompson's not there. And the hole at number two, which is a vitally important role, as you certainly know, is just sitting there. And it's not going to be Kelly Oubre, and it's not going to be Jordan Poole, and it's not going to be James Wiseman, and it's not going to be, I mean, who the hell else? I mean, maybe it's Andrew Wiggins, but it feels as if that's Draymond's responsibility to take that over. And I'm fascinated to see how he starts the season. And one step beyond that, I'm fascinated to see how he handles this new look roster that you alluded to. I remember vividly, and I'm sure people who listen to this will kind of roll their eyes as I'm bringing it up again, but I do feel that it was an important moment or important period of the Warriors 2019-20 campaign, where Draymond in training camp goes out and says, I can teach D'Angelo Russell how to be a good defensive player. He has the length, he has the smarts, he can be a good defensive player. And within two or three games of the start of the season, Draymond effectively gave up on D'Angelo Russell. And not too long after, D'Angelo Russell was on a different team. Does he feel the same way now that he has a truly all the way in Andrew Wiggins? He's not trying to figure out where he lives and all that stuff. Like, Andrew Wiggins is here. He's ready to rumble. Can he do the same thing with a Kelly Oubre? Can he do the same thing with a James Wiseman? Not that I think James Wiseman is going to be headstrong and fight what Draymond's trying to say, but it's going to be interesting. Draymond has so much importance on the court and off the court. And while there are so many questions about this team, and I want to get into them here, he's the biggest one to me going into 2021. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're right to sort of separate the offensive and the defensive side of the ball, you know. And so on defense, he is going to be the guy. He's going to be the tone setter. He's going to be the guy who needs to not only teach some of these new players the ropes, but set the tone defensively. Mm-hmm. And I think when Steph went down early last season, it kind of took the stakes away. And I know totally. A lot of fans like to kind of draw the line of demarcation at Steph's injury between the Warriors being a playoff team and not, that the Warriors were bad even when Steph was playing. They were getting blown out in those first few games, and they were going to continue to be bad even if Steph was on the roster last year. That's just the way the roster was set up.
It was a bad team. Yeah.
It was a bad team. It was a rebuilding year, and whatever. It is what it is. But I do think that if you had Steph, you still would have like that hope of winning on a game-to-game basis, right? Because he's that kind of player that could provide that sort of hope. And so once he went down, the reasons for playing defense just really weren't there. And you hate to say that because, hey, they're NBA players, are getting paid millions of dollars. But yeah, if you figure you're going to lose every game, you're not going to be playing defense all that much or as hard as you would if you thought you were playing in games that really mattered. I think with Steph coming back and Draymond having his dude back on the court with him, totally, the stakes are there again, right? The games matter finally. For the first time, I could argue since Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals, a game will matter to the Warriors.
Well, Wes, I do want to clap back a little bit at that. I mean, the games early in last year did matter. It just became very clear that they weren't going to be very good within a couple of days of the season starting.
They knew that this team was going to be struggling by within training camp.
Yes, I agree with that.
Look, I think that that's fair. Like, obviously the games don't, game one of a new season doesn't not matter, but right, it's fair to, I do think that as far as their impact to the rest of the league, it hasn't mattered since the 2019 finals.
Plus the gut punch of losing Durant, which I do Thompson. Think we over, yeah, both of those guys, losing both of them in an off season, it did allow them to let their, you know, hands off the reins a little bit, adding into the fact that they had just done double time for five straight years.
And now that excuse is gone.
We're no doubt.
The expectations are there again. And that's what Draymond Green feeds on, is totally, those expectations. And so I think defensively, he's going to set the tone. Offensively, and by the way, I trust him to do that. He's going to take James Wiseman under his wing, just like he did with Kevon Looney a few years ago, and show him the ropes. And they're going to get a lot of minutes between Wiseman and Draymond on the court together, and that stuff's going to matter. I think he can get them. I think Andrew Wiggins is looking forward to putting more energy in on the defensive end and not having to run. I still think back to, I took a car ride with Andrew Wiggins last year on his way to the airport for some community event. And the thing, many things stuck out to me in that car ride, but one of the things that did was that he was looking forward to not running. He described to me what his job was in Minnesota. It was like, run a pick and roll, and once that doesn't work, run another one. And it's just the way, and the way he said it, it was just, he didn't want to play that way. He knew that it wasn't working. It was going nowhere fast and forever. And he, I think he's looking forward to just playing a different way, which means being a good defender and being an efficient player on offense. And I think I'm pretty bullish on Wiggins. I don't think he's going to be a max player, but I think he'll be an effective role player.
I think he's a solid wing. He's a starting caliber wing and perhaps even a plus side caliber wing. I think that Wiggins, actually, there are not that many questions about. I think that we're going to see a pretty damn good player who can give you 25 on any given night. And if he can engage defensively, if he has that ability, I think that that's a really solid player. I just don't know if the Warriors, you mentioned the rebuilding part of last year. Have they rebuilt enough? Do they have enough solid players to really compete?
To really compete for a title, no. But to be a playoff team, they should be.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. This is
that's an important distinction. I'll give you that.
They remind me a little bit of the Boston Celtics in that you've got one, you've got a small-ish point guard, even though I would say that Steph is a little bit bigger than Kemba Walker, and better defensively than Kemba Walker is. But outside, like, you've got a point guard who kind of is running your offense, and then you've got a bunch of long wings just around that player, a lot of long, similarly sized wings around that player, and then a cohort of centers, right? And I think that the Warriors at center have a little bit more upside than the Celtics do, and I think they have more upside at point guard, obviously, than the Celtics do. But the Celtics have Jason Tatum, and the Warriors have Kelly Oubre. But I think it balances out, is what I'm saying. But I think you could see them play a similar style, and I think that's what fans could expect from the Warriors this year. Defensively, their task in training camp is to create somehow a top 10 defense. And coming out of last year, the fifth worst defense in the league in defensive rating, they were also the last worst offense in the league in offensive rating.
Just by getting Stephen Clay back. Roll on Eric Paschal.
Yeah, he couldn't do enough, it turns out. Just getting Steph back is going to lift that offense. And then obviously you add a full season of Wiggins playing the right role. You get Oubre in there. I think they're going to be better offensively. I think they should be somewhere at league average. But they're going to need to be – but to get from where they were last year to a top 10 defense, it's going to be more than just getting Draymond Green and Kevon Looney healthy. They needed to add personnel. I think they did that. I think they effectively added – Kelly Oubre is a good defender. Right, he's a good one-on-one man-to-man defender. Team defender. He's rough around the edges, but one-on-one, he can hold his own.
He has the ability to.
He does.
And he certainly showed more than D'Angelo Russell. But I think that there's a lot of potential and not a lot of actualization there. I'm planting my flag on this. Oubre seems like a pretty sharp guy. Mm-hmm. I like his talent a lot. The more I dove into the tape and watched it more earnestly, the more concerned I am about the way he plays. He shot hunts and he steal hunts, and that doesn't fly with Golden State whatsoever.
Well, it might this year, because they're gonna.
That's a problem, though. That's gonna grind up the gears.
Well, no, I mean, on defense, I think if he can maintain that aggressiveness in trying to get deflections and steals. That's going to be a key part, I think, of this year's defense. Is you're not going to be able to force a stop in.
It's a boomer bust defense. Is that what you're arguing?
Because I think you're going to try to get a stop within the first 6 or 8 seconds of the shot clock, and that stop might just be a result of a deflection or a steal or some sort of turnover. So if you can rein him in a little bit, let him maintain that aggressiveness and steal hunting, but just keep the fouls at a low. Let him pick his spots a little bit more conservatively. I think it'll be helpful. But like I said, I that's going to be Draymond Green's job. Is that community and Steph Curry's job too? By the way, he might be an average defender at best, but he's an elite communicator. And so between him and Draymond Green on the court defensively, I think that's going to help things. Kevon Looney being healthy for a full season presumably is going to be a big help too. And then they've got outside of that, they've got the length. And then to go back to your question about did they do enough this offseason? in adding veterans, just reliable, stable bench guys like Kent Bazemore and Brad Wanamaker, that's helpful. Because if Kelly Oubre or Andrew Wiggins just come out and just do an old school Kelly Oubre or Andrew Wiggins impression and you're not digging it in that game, then Steve Kerr can just be like, you know what? Kent Bazemore is playing 30 minutes tonight. And that's it. And then you're fine. I don't know, again, if that's enough to be – if that's enough to compete with the Lakers and the Clippers. You know what? I do know. It's not. But it should get them squarely in the mix for a playoff spot.
I agree with that. I think that there's also the question going into the season of how much slack do the Warriors actually have? You look at the Western Conference, and every year it's loaded. And this year there are – I mean, 8-9 teams that can realistically fight for the spot just south of the Lakers. And I don't personally put the Clippers in the Lakers category. I'd like to put this caveat on it. You and I both think that the Clippers, if fully actualized, are awesome, totally awesome. They're not as awesome as this fully actualized Lakers team. And maybe there are three tiers. There's the Lakers, there's the Clippers, each of them representing their own tier. And then there's everybody else. And I guess then there's a fourth tier of crap teams, of which there's maybe two or three. But the Lakers are, even with all the additions that they've made, they are overly reliant still to this day, as every team seems to be in this day and age. And perhaps in all of history, save for a few years with the Golden State Warriors, they're overly reliant on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And LeBron is coming off very little rest, so you know that he's going to take plenty of games off. Davis already takes those games off. And by the way, he's also one of the most injury-prone stars in the league. And who knows with this condensed schedule? I mean, they're squeezing 72 games into a month, 6 weeks fewer. An actual brick of schedule. So the Lakers might not end up being the one seed. They might just decide, hey, we're just going to take it all the way to the end and we'll figure out where it shakes out. The Clippers have a lot of stuff that they need to work through emotionally. I mean, Paul George is out here on all the smoke saying that, you know, he didn't like doing all these pin downs for Doc Rivers. I mean, this is a guy who still seems to have a misunderstanding of his place in the hierarchy of not only the NBA, but his team. And I'm not sure that Ty Lue is necessarily the best guy to do that, though I do have respect for what Ty Lue does. Interested to see the X's and O's of that team in a big way. The Warriors are, much like last season, extremely reliant, though not as reliant, on Steph Curry going thermonuclear this season. And until I see it, because it's been so long, it's hard for me to just pencil or, you know, write that in pen. I'll maybe put it in pencil with a really good eraser. But I'm concerned about the burden that Curry has to carry on this team for them to be not championship contenders. We'll deal with that if it all shakes out that way, but just playoff contenders, a team that actually makes the top six, because that's what I actually view the playoffs to be, a team that actually qualifies for the real playoffs and not this 7-8-9-10 BS that we have going on now, which will be fun, but still, that's a lot for Curry to carry. And I'm just not sure how much slack this team has, and they're getting, as you alluded to earlier, very tough schedule off the front. They have to figure out a lot of stuff. They don't have a lot of time in training camp. They don't get to do any of this team bonding stuff, which is important, I still believe. It feels like Curry has to come out guns firing and let everybody else, you know, catch up to him. I don't know. There's a strange dynamic, and I can see it going wrong early, and then the Warriors having to dig themselves out of a hole for the rest of the year. And again, with an over-reliance on Curry, this is a guy who's played, you know, who's missed a lot of games over the last 3 years, not just last year, but the years before that, missing playoff series, all that stuff. It's a lot to put on him. And unlike the Lakers, they don't have the slack to make up for that. If Curry goes down, they're
done.
Back in the lottery.
Right. Look, I agree with you. I think that there's a reason why Steve Kerr in training camp is focusing on defense, is because we are going to see this identity that the Warriors were, the Splash Brothers, right? This unstoppable offense, just shooting all around the court. You just couldn't stop. That's done. Okay. Like that's not going to be, even when Klay comes back, I don't know that that's going to be the identity. I make the crack every once in a while. It's gone from Splash Brothers to Splash Only Child. And that's going to be the case this year. And it's going to just be him on offense. And I think you're right. Like, they are relying on him on offense. The bet is that, hey, we've got Steph Curry and just him alone is a top 15 offense. And if that's the bet that they're making, right, him alone with just decent NBA players as opposed last year where
you're
getting, you know, bench players playing starters minutes. They at least have starter level players playing starters minutes.
Eric Paschal is finally an eighth or a ninth man again, which is appropriate.
Right. And so that's why Steve Kerr comes out and says in training camp, we're going to be exclusively focusing on defense. They are trying to build a top 10 defense in training camp. So all those questions you had, are they going to strike the right balance of aggressiveness and conservativeness? Are they going to be able to stop teams? Are they going to be able to utilize and maximize the length, the versatility, the athleticism that they have? Those are questions that they are asking and trying to answer in this next 2-3 week period.
Wow.
And that to me is going to be the new identity of the Warriors is, and by the way, Steve Kerr has always coached a top 11 defense besides last year where they were fifth worst in the league. So they know what to do defensively. You've got Ron Adams, you've got Jaren Collins, you've got the right people there to coach up these players. They're going to have to implement a new scheme. I think you're going to see a very modern defense as opposed to what it was before, where it was a lot of one-on-one. Hey, just cover your guy. They don't have.
They're not playing zone, are they?
They will play zone this year. They will switch. They will blitz. They will scramble.
There's going to be a lot of pick
and rolls. It's going to be.
I wrote down blitz 4 times in my notes already.
They're going to do a lot of that now, and it's going to be fun. At the very least, for fans, it'll be at least fun looking. And
chaos basketball.
Chaos basketball, and you know who thrives in chaos basketball? Steph Curry.
And Draymond Green.
And Draymond Green. And I think communication is important for that kind of chaos basketball against Steph, Draymond, to repeat myself, thrive in that. That is going to be the new identity for the Warriors going forward is we're going to be a defensive team.
Right.
Because even when Klay comes back, he's not going to be the player he was. I think they will never admit it, but there's an understanding that that's so. They don't have Kevin Durant anymore, obviously. And so I think there's a ceiling to what this team could be offensively, where before there was no limit to how many points that team could score. Right. And so the new identity for at least the next half decade, and I think them drafting James Wiseman reflects this belief, is that they need to be a defensive first team. And you know what? Fine. If that's what it takes to win games, that's what it takes to win games. And it's going to be and that's why training camp is going to be so important, is because they need to come out of the gate against Brooklyn and Milwaukee, guarding two of the most unstoppable offensive players we've seen in the last 10 years. It's going to be tough. That's the goal. Offensively, it's just going to be a lot of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, pick and roll, and everybody else figure out where you fit in, at least at first. And then you could sort of evolve as the season goes on.
Have you ever been more excited for a preseason game than December 12th's game against the Nuggets at Chase Center, 5:30 p.m.?
I just really want to see what Michael Porter Jr. has been up to.
Oh my God. Okay, Wes, that is a perfect note to end it on. Just absolutely ruining all of your great points up until this juncture. I'm fascinated for the preseason. Cannot wait for it to start. We will certainly talk before then. All right. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Talk to you soon.